Well, good morning and welcome to the roundtable on this panel for Friday. It's going into a holiday weekend and we are delighted to be with you. It's a rainy day today, but it'll be a beautiful weekend, I'm sure. It's a beautiful weekend if we make it a beautiful weekend, so we'll do that.
Even if it's raining.
And hopefully we'll start you off this morning and help make it a good weekend. Let us go around the table. I want to introduce you to the folks here who are with the panel and also just remind you that if you would like to get in and write to us, share your thoughts on the subjects we'll be talking about, all you have to do is go to panel@wamc.org. To my immediate left, and I mean that metaphorically as well as physically.
It's a true thing.
Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant and one of our dear friends, and we thank you very much for being with us.
I'm thrilled.
Excellent. Not with us on Monday because we're not going to be here on Monday, so
yes.
Came out on
and
Friday
and I wasn't
instead.
Here last Monday either. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Barbara Smith is with us, author, activist, and regular panelist on this program. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us.
And occasional letter writer to this panel when she's not here.
Yes.
Yes, she checks in, brings us...
And I refer to her as our Barbara Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And did you turn the thing down? It's very chilly in here, isn't it?
You could hang meat in
here. Yeah, it's very cold.
Just so everybody in the listening audience knows. Yes, it's freezing.
It's very freezing.
You know my theory on all that, but you don't want to know. Well, the thinner you are.
Let's move right along.
First of all, I'm cold. But second of all,
I'm cold.
Right, and I'm cold. And Joe and I are on the same team here. So
you are not. It's chilly, isn't it? It's chilly. Okay.
Yeah, let's turn the
very Argentine.
All right. Jeez. It's gonna be one of those mornings.
No, that's okay.
All right. Now let me I've yet to introduce WAMC's Alan Chartok, and let me, in my introduction, say that I also want to set us up because we are, I had the number, here we go. As of this morning, in the lockbox, we went over $300,000 yesterday.
We did.
During this program.
And we only started at 10 to 10 serendipitously.
So we are at 318. 299. So 318,000, 299,000. We are going to get to $500,000, the halfway mark in the fund drive, by June 5th, which is just a week and a day.
Let's do it today.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
No, but Libby, you make a very good point. There is something. I'm glad you brought that up because we weren't going to do it. But it's a very good idea.
I think your pants are on fire.
That you have. Yeah. Oh yeah, they are. Yes, I think that's a great idea. So what do we need? It would be great if we could get to 350.
That'd be great. It would be $30,000, basically. It'd be $30,000 in 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Now, let me just say, we got a couple of letters yesterday, actually three of them, that said, how dare you raise money during the roundtable? We won't have that because it's not right. I say, lady, are you kidding? We can't have the round table unless we have the money. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's right.
Let's just figure this out here. A couple of other things that need mentioning. Number one, if you read this week's current magazine, you go online and look at it, which is the Bible of the broadcasting
Bible.
Industry. The House has cut out all money for public broadcasting. And the arts and the humanities.
That's right.
And so I told you that was going to happen, but did anybody listen? No. But they're doing it, and so we have to really fend for ourselves. And then, of course, you know, with everything that we're seeing today, Jared Kushner as a subject of interest and everything else, this is really a scary time.
I just want to jump in on something you just said was that you know, I told you this was coming, and Alan, I have to say this because I was in a meeting with NPR people, and it was right after President Trump got elected, and it was before the budget, and Alan said to them on the phone, we had a conference call, and Alan said, well, what are you doing to get ready for the axe to come down? And they said, oh, we're not worried about that. We don't think that's going to happen. Pence was nice to us in Indiana.
In the grocery store.
In the grocery store, and we don't think any of that's going to happen. And Alan said, well, we know you've had meetings. You have to be, you know, you're not telling. He goes, no, we haven't had any meeting. We're not worried about that at all. That's not going to happen. And we got off the phone looking at each other going, how do you not plan for that?
Right. That's unbelievable, because I can tell you IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Services, is also on the chopping block. And ALA, the American Library Association, has been going great guns with advocacy for the last 2-3 months. So it's insane for them to think, oh, we don't have to worry about this. We do have to worry about it.
Let me tell you what it's all about. What it's all about is they think that if they're nice to Trump, which NPR has been doing increasingly on its morning broadcast. I don't know if you guys have been listening, but talk about bending over backwards. It's unbelievable. They think that, he'll take pity on them.
He won't.
Of course not.
No, not at all. That will not happen, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we got to do it for ourselves, is Joe's point.
Yes, we have to do it for ourselves. And so we have to do it for ourselves and also for this community, the listeners in this community, and as we come together and to keep what we have here and what has been created.
It's if you want unbiased, unfettered reporting, we have to support the station.
Okay, so we need to get to $350,000 just by the end of this program. So
are there incentives?
There are incentives, and I'm gonna find out what those incentives are.
Lunch with us.
Remember when I said you had it? No, we have tickets for the June 14th. It's the Bastille Day program.
Bastille.
At Tanglewood in the shed. A pair of shed tickets for the Friday, June 14th performance of the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
It's Friday. June 14th is a Wednesday.
Let me say this.
I'm doing it without notes.
If you're listening and you haven't heard from, haven't been at Tanglewood, you haven't lived. Truly. Oh, yeah. It's by far, Joe, the best musical venue in the country. In the country. There's nothing that compares with it. It is so beautiful. And if you haven't been there, So what are we giving?
I'm going to tell you, and also thank you. Have I told you lately that I love you?
July 15th. Right, July 14th is Bastille Day.
Yeah, and June 14th is Flag Day. Right,
right. Right.
All right.
That
so
is U.S. Flag Day.
Right.
Forget what I said. All right, it's July 14th. It is the BSO. Andres Nelson's our good friend who we know him well,
and when we go to Tanglewood and spend the day there, it's one of our favorite things to do. Joe and I and the crew and Sarah LaDuke, and we go up there, and we're joined by Kevin Moran of the Berkshire Eagle, and we sit around and we have a good time.
And by the way, we'll be doing all of that on Friday, July 7th.
And that's just like going to camp.
That will be fun.
That's Roselle's birthday.
But then the week, oh, great. Yeah. That's okay, right? She'll celebrate her birthday. We'll have a cake there.
That's a good idea.
Okay. July 14th, you get tickets to the shed. But look, it's about the money, right? Really? It's about the $30,000 that we need between now and 10:30 this morning.
So it's $100 you get tickets? Is that what
$100 you get a pair of tickets.
A pair of tickets.
But if you want such a bargain. If you want two pairs of tickets, it's
$150.
So if you want two pairs of tickets,
that's really even a better bargain.
Or otherwise known as such a deal.
Such a deal.
Yeah. Okay. So
all right.
Okay, but wait, it's really deadly
serious.
There's
more.
No, it's deadly serious. It is. Because, you know, we know who the president is. We know what his agenda is. We know he got 3 million votes less than the person he was running against. And he brings this draconian thing in to face us all. And it's scary. Now, yesterday, I had the interview of my life because I interviewed Tim Snyder, who is the prestigious Yale historian who has put out that unless we watch our step, what he's able to do is compare this with the Holocaust, which he's written extensively on, and other things to show the progression of how a democracy turns into a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
All right. So now it's on you. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We do have operators standing by.
Operators are standing by.
800-323-9262. that was different from yesterday. 800-323-9262, but we're good today. And WAMC.org or 800-323-9262. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll actually talk about the news, and we'll bug you for money, too, but we'll be back right after this.
Support for WMC comes from Russell Wright's Manitoga, Garrison, New York, featuring Ecstatic Light, illuminated paintings by Peter Bynum, tours twice daily, Friday through Monday, beginning June 2nd. Online, visit manitoga.org. Lakeview Orchard, 94 Old Cheshire Road in Lanesboro, Massachusetts. Homegrown, homemade, and locally produced products, including honey, pies, and seasonal asparagus. LakeviewOrchard.com. The Blue Marble, a world of gifts. Locations on North Pleasant Street in downtown Amherst and now at a second location at Thorne's Marketplace in Northampton. TheBlueMarble.biz. And The Spot 518, a weekly arts, entertainment, and cultural publication for the Capital Region, available online in newsstands and venues. TheSpot518.com.
Started off on a good foot. Good
morning. Yeah, somebody just stepped on it.
Okay. Good morning, and welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. We love hearing from you, panel at WAMC.org. Let us go to the news of the day, and well, there's a lot of stories to talk about, but let us start with we were talking about the Montana vote yesterday, and Greg Gianforte, who was the guy charged with assault the night before the election in the state of Montana, well, he won last night.
And he's the only congressman from Montana. Yeah,
that's right. The one representative for the entire state of Montana. So in a statement late Wednesday, the office of the Gallatin County Sheriff, Brian Goodkin, said that there was enough evidence to charge the candidate, so he was charged. And then, there was early voting.
Yeah, 40%, I believe, had voted early.
But it did not make a difference at the ballot box, and he won quite handily, 50-44%.
So like 7%?
Yeah, and there was a Libertarian candidate that took 6% of the vote.
Right. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, what are we to make of this? First of all, I did mention yesterday that I thought some people would be sympathetic. There were two things to be sympathetic to the candidate, to the Republican, for. One, he lost his temper. And there are many of us who have lost our temper over the years. We say, give the guy a break. The second is, he had his hands on the throat of the reporter.
Right.
And I said here that since the press, we know this from Pew and everything else, the press does not do well in public opinion, that there may be some people who said, good, I would have liked to do that too.
Oh, I'm sure there were.
Yeah.
But does that make it right?
No.
Well, did I make the argument that it made it right?
And you can lose your temper. That doesn't mean you put your hands on somebody.
No. No,
okay.
When you were 3 years old.
It doesn't
old,
mean,
you could do
right,
that.
You body slam somebody and break his glasses and send him to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know.
My point is, I wasn't endorsing the action. I was just simply trying, as a political scientist,
yes,
which I am, was to explain the political behavior that ended up with his winning. That's all.
I also think, though, it's like what he stands for. These are Trump diehards, I take it, and
sure,
he's displaying the kind of behavior.
He won by 20 points.
Yeah. He's displaying the kind of behavior that Trump and his acolytes are known for, and it's just all good with them.
You are so right.
And
you are so right. When you think about this, Trump has really had a major, and this is, again, brings us back to Professor Snyder and getting ready for the coup, he has made that point that over and over again, that the press is the enemy of the people. That's what he said.
Right.
The enemy
exactly
of the people.
Exactly.
And right up there with the prime minister of Montenegro.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And this reporter is really the other. He's from The Guardian, which is an English paper, right?
He
has
progressive
an English left paper.
Right,
yes.
English left paper. He has an accent, and his last name was Jacobs. So he like was hitting all the buttons.
So you think it was an anti-Semitic?
I think that played into it, given the amount of anti-Semitism we've seen riled up in this country since Trump took office because of his rhetoric.
And I've heard that. You're not the only person who's...
Oh, yeah. Once I saw his last name was Jacobs, I was like, oh, my God. This is definitely...
Can I read you a...
And he wasn't a good candidate, by the way. The other guy was a singer. The opponent was a singer, never run for political office before, so it wasn't, didn't really, I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I just want to read a quote from Mark Sanford, the Republican from South Carolina, who said, respectfully, I'd submit that the president has unearthed some demons. Sanford. I've talked to a number of people about it back home. They say, well, look, if the president can say whatever, why can't I say whatever? He's given them license.
Mm-hmm.
A Republican senator said.
God bless Mark Sanford. He turns out to be a very decent fellow. No, he's not your...
Oh, no, I'm shaking my head. I'm just shaking my head at the fact that this is what we're talking about, and this is what a Republican senator has to say about the behavior of a congressperson.
Well, there are
congressperson-elect.
Well, and look at the president and what he did yesterday.
There are too few Mark Sanfords, is my point. Or, as my mom would have said, he's the best of that crowd.
Well, you know, it's interesting because of how he's gained his notoriety, and yet he manages to...
He was a bad boy.
He cheated on his wife.
He was the Appalachian Trail guy.
Right. He was on the Appalachian Trail. He was actually having an affair with somebody down in Central America somewhere. And so, so it was, and he was a good Christian. So, you know, it was that kind of stuff. But he has redeemed himself, and now he's even
evolved.
Further. Yes, he's evolved. But, I don't know.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah, yeah. So this could be a part, still part of his penance.
Yes, that and the anger management glasses that he's still taking.
Yes, I think
which are true. Yeah, they just true.
And this guy should take from
well, he apologized.
Montana.
He apologized last night during his victory speech.
He was told to by Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I think that's why. Yeah. I don't know that he would have done it on his own.
No, not at all.
So what does that mean?
He's a bully.
I mean, first, this is... I'm talking about overall for society.
It just shows the depths to which political behavior has fallen. I mean, just imagine. I was thinking about President Obama and how he was treated for running an impeccable 8-year administration with no scandals, no people being pushed or sworn at or, you know, tales of sexual assault, you know, gleefully shared. I mean, none of that happened. And what I was specifically thinking about was how, was it during a State of the Union or some other speech?
His
that
first person, State of the Union.
And the person yelled, you lied. Now, we have a president who is a serial liar. Is anyone ever going to say that or yell that out at him in a public setting like that?
Mm-hmm.
People are getting away with a huge amount.
We're going to take a break. Please remember, WAMC.org. We have a lot of money to make. We only have an hour to do it in. And we're going to give you an update when we come around again. Alan, Barbara, Libby are here. Panel at WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We've got topics to talk about this morning, but we also have some money to make. A lot of it, actually, $30,000 before... not 10:30 this morning. We want to be to the $350,000 point in the fund drive and in the lockbox. Why is this so important? Well, it's important because if we get to the $500,000 point, we'll get $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. So to keep us on target, if you don't know, and you should, it's a holiday weekend. So it's crickets
weekend. What do you get?
You get a pair of tickets to go to the Shed at Tanglewood, if you want them, obviously.
Who wouldn't want to go to Tanglewood? The most beautiful, great, incredible, unrivaled?
For a pledge of $100, you should note that.
You get two tickets.
You get two tickets.
In the Shed.
In the Shed. July 14th, and it's Ravel, Haydn, Mozart.
Right.
Mozart Piano Concerto number 21 in C.
Yeah.
K-467, for those of you who keep score at home.
Kershel.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, Alan. Thank you.
What's K-467?
Kershel. That's it's the way they list all these things.
Oh, I see. Got it. So it's 8 p.m. in the Shed. I learned so much in this program. 8 p.m. July 14th, but the money is the big part here. Let me check. I can give you an updated figure right now. I got the fancy tool right here, which you can obviously check at your home too. We're at $320,000. So
what were we when we started the show?
We were at 317, 318.
Oh.
And we have to get to 350, right?
Yes.
Yes. Come on, folks.
So $30,000.
Okay.
All right.
Just keep thinking of Trump taking away the money. which he is doing in his budget. Okay, Keith has written us a letter, Joe. I just want to read it to you. If you don't like WMC mentioning the lockbox during the roundtable, then in capital, big capital letters, become sustaining members of WAMC. Every little bit counts. P.S. Tell Congressman Faso to hold a town hall during next week's recess. Keith, a sustaining member since February 2017.
Oh, that's great. A new sustaining member.
Yeah.
Thank you, Keith.
Very nice.
People should join Keith.
You want more?
Yeah.
Okay. Wendy says, I wonder if you're planning on having a discussion about the New York State Universal Healthcare Bill that passed the Assembly and will be voted on in the Senate soon. It's an important and timely subject that few people seem to know about. Well, Wendy, we did talk about it yesterday. So we're on top of it. Our friend Dick Gottfried has, as usual, done wonderful work with it. I'm wondering whether the Republicans in the state Senate would like to see universal health care for New York State. I have my doubts about that. However, they're in a bad spot now because, as you know, there is this breakaway traitorous group that has deserted the Independent Democratic Conference, which has deserted. I know it's inside baseball, but they deserted the Democrats, mm-hmm. eight of them. And they went over and made common cause for, you know, a piece,
for Lulu's,
few pieces of silver,
right?
Over
and
there,
committee chairmanships and
assistant committee chairmanships,
right.
Which aren't real,
right?
And things like that. And so, the real question is, will they go back with the other Democrats? And the betting is no, they won't. But here they are, these so-called Democrats, like Jeff Klein of where? Of the Bronx, saying a progressive, so-called self-styled progressive Democrat, they're going to be accused, of course, of supporting the Trump agenda because the state Senate will do that. So will the Senate, in order to maintain their primacy, will they, in fact, have to go along with this health care?
I think they're going to have to go along with a couple of things.
Yeah.
And if they were smart,
yeah,
they would also pass GENDA, which is the Gender Equality Non-Discrimination Act, to take it off the table, because that assembly seat that went Democratic on Long Island, that's where I grew up, is a solidly Republican area, and it went Democratic, and that portends for the state Senate races down there in 2018, which, you know, you've got Ken LaValle and Ken Pannon and a bunch of other ones, and, you know, it's always been solidly Republican in the Senate because of the demographics, but that's changing, and
yeah.
They might just want to, just like they did gay marriage, just like they did same-sex marriage, to take it off the table. Take some of these issues off the table, and it won't be an issue in 2018.
You know, Senator Kemp Hannon, who I've always referred to as the man with two last names.
It's true. I wonder what his first name really is.
Okay, so good morning, panel. Perhaps today's panels could comment. Some light on rationale for U.S. leaking British intelligence around the Manchester attack. Since learning of the leaks, I've been listening for commentary about why they occurred. Since U.K. is our country's most essential intelligence partner, why would any of our organizations, agencies engage in behavior that would and did jeopardize that relationship and common goal? Listening to NPR reporting this AM gave no insight into my question. Would love to be able to direct this question to Malcolm Nance, but in his absence, would anyone on the panel attempt to shed some light? Don't all yell at once.
Somebody wrote in and wants the donation phone number, so can you?
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC.
Or WAMC.org. That's right. The real way to do it, because that way the phones are freed up for other people calling in, because we have operators standing by.
323-1960.
Yeah, and then okay. Otherwise if you do it online, that's great, and then the staff can actually do their other work. But they're there. They'll take your call if you call.
No, they encourage it.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael says, Montana election, Republican gets approximately $5.5 million from outside donors. Democrat gets approximately $0.6 million from outside donors. That's like the Patriots bragging about a win over the Rondout Ganders. Don't you see?
Yeah.
Okay. But I want to go back to, because I know we didn't give a good answer to that last important question about why we screwed over the British. Because we do it differently here. That's why. Because as soon as something comes out, our law enforcement agencies, leak, and do all that stuff. The Brits are very serious about protecting people's rights and not discussing those things beforehand. And then we have a president who meets with two Russians, two top Russians, who are certainly been accused of being spies, and says to them, you know, oh, and by the way, and gives away
right. top but it military, wasn't Israel.
Top military secrets, right?
Yeah,
amazing. Okay, so Michael says, well, we already talked about Michael, and now Jim says, there's something to be said about for everyone voting on the same day after assessing the entire campaign. Okay, and that's from Jim.
Well, ordinarily, having early voting opportunities is a plus for the electorate and the right of the franchise, because it allows people who do not have easy lives of privilege and can just you know, waltz on over to the polling place on one particular day. It really does increase the involvement of people who are operating with other kinds of strains, yes, on their time. Like, for example, a mother raising children, several children, you know, that'd be great for her to be able to vote at her convenience, as opposed to that day when all of them have the flu.
Which is why, Barbara, I suspect that every proposal that will increase voter participation has many more Democrats for it, because they realize what you said is
yes,
true.
It's about expanding the electorate, having options. Yeah. And ordinarily, as I said, it would not be a problem. Having early voting would be seen as a very positive for the democracy. This was, I don't know if this was a fluke exactly, because to me, the behavior is not a fluke. It's like the way things are now. But the fact that it came so close to the day of the election itself certainly did have impact. So.
And I still don't know, Barbara, whether or not it got them some votes, the Republicans some votes.
Yeah.
You know, from people who lose their tempers and say, good, it's about time.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and also who hate the press.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Jim says, there's something... we did that. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. And now to Tara, who says, fat shaming just as the show starts? Someone cold is just cold, especially on rainy spring day in New England. And that's from Tara.
Thank you, Tara.
As well as in New York.
Yeah. Right.
Although I will note, as a fat person, I didn't feel shamed.
Yeah, I never did.
Yeah, shaming is a little bit much.
Yeah,
I just had a hypothesis.
I feel shamed.
That if you have a little bit extra adipose, you're protected from the cold.
No, we just have more of us to be exposed to the cold.
I don't see you as one of those people.
Oh, well, I don't know if I should say thank you or not.
Well, you should say
all
thank
right,
you.
All right, first of all... This isn't going to end well, so let's just stop
right.
it now.
Thank you,
it's
Joe.
Like,
yes,
thanks,
Joe.
Yeah.
This can go nowhere but down.
Right.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and we need you. 1-800-323-9262. We need to raise money, and we want to get the lockbox filled. You know, people, every once in a while, Alan said, we got a couple letters yesterday. People say, oh, this is a fun drive. Well, right. We have $25,000 on the line here, and we want to make it. And we've got a holiday weekend. People are going to be away. And we really only have a few days, and we want to make the best of it. So,
and if you want to keep hearing us, you need to do this. It's just that simple.
And if you don't want to keep hearing us,
do it anyway.
Yeah. 1-800-323-9262. I don't know either. 1-800-323. I'm here to help, but I don't know. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Kern Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and Mendota Heights, Minnesota, providing DOL fiduciary rule compliance training and guidance to life insurance carriers and their distribution partners. KernCompliance.com. Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy on New Albany's downtown campus, offering full, part-time, and evening study in nonprofit management, health policy, government information strategy, international affairs, and more, albany.edu/Rockefeller. Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, announcing the annual Villa Golf Tournament Saturday, June 3rd at the Roundout Golf Club, villaveritas.org for details.
and the Button Box, Sunderland, Massachusetts, makers of Armor's concertinas, also selling new and used concertinas and accordions and providing repairs and accessories. Buttonbox.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to our panel discussion. And we're learning a lot about each other this morning, aren't we, friends?
Yes.
Yeah. 1-800-323-9262. We're up to 322,000. We need to get to 350,000.
We're going to make it unless everybody...
Like $25,000 is pretty much what we need to do in the next
50 minutes. Right.
1-800-323-9262 and WAMC.org.
So Megan takes issue with what I think I said. I had read that it was 40% of the voters had voted in Montana. She says 60% had been in by absentee ballot when the assault happened. I understand losing faith in politicians, but sounds like you're losing faith in us, the American people. We? No, we're not.
No, we have faith.
We have faith.
I do have to agree. I read a similar figure, I thought, on the 60%, but I don't know. I was just trying to find it. I definitely
saw 40, but it may have increased. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
Last time I struck someone in anger, I was 10, says Bill. I was 10. Washington is becoming a playground for immature, selfish children. That's Bill in Kinderhook.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
When's the last time you've ever... Well, I don't think I've ever struck anyone, but... That's another story. Alan?
Gina says, I hate losing any of the roundtable to fundraising, so to balance it out, let's have a segmented marathon roundtable during the drive. Well, we do that. We talk a lot about issues and things while the drive is going on. But thank you, Gina. I appreciate that.
Sometimes it's hard to have a wedding at a funeral.
Right. Gianforte. Yeah, he only got 50% of the vote.
Yeah, but he's still...
The other guy, I know he won, but the other guy got 44%. But you would expect that it would have been 60-40.
Well, it would have been. In normal times, it would have been. Yeah. He paid a price. The Republicans are all paying prices right now for the health care bill and the rest of it. And it's going to be, and they are scared. They're worried about losing their majority. Mm-hmm. And if they lose their majority and the subpoena power on these investigations goes to the Democrats, you're going to see. And remember that all impeachment proceedings must begin in the House of Representatives.
That's right.
That could be a game changer. And Laurie says, good morning, panelites.
Good morning.
Panelites. Don't you like that? According to Politico.com, Trump uses Gianforte's victory as a great win in Montana.
Yes. I was just looking at that myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said it, though, with the people, the leaders of NATO.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the kind of thing he says all the time. I think somebody added up all the lies yesterday. I think I was watching Morning Joe or something. 246.
Yeah, the Washington Post put out a lie compendium.
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to say I watched a video of it during the break, and he made that remark about great win in Montana as they were kind of walking from the event, but obviously microphones were on and press everything. Yeah, and he was surrounded by.
Or he would tweet it.
Yeah, he was surrounded by the people, the leaders of the other nations,
who just sort of
laughed at him.
Yeah, the side eyes, pictures of
I watched his speech and their responses.
Yes, many side eyes.
Oh my God.
Many
side eyes.
I like it.
The NATO speech.
I like the NATO speech.
Right? I never thought of that. Side eyes. Yeah. I never thought of side eyes. But yeah,
the long glance.
He chastised NATO and fellow NATO members and demands that they meet payment obligations.
And he should talk as somebody who defaults on almost every building he's built and cheats people out of their money.
European leaders gazed unsmilingly at Trump while he said that 23 of the 28 member nations are still not paying and that they should be paying and what they are supposed to be paying and that they owe massive amounts from past years, a misstatement of NATO's spending targets which guide individual nations' own domestic spending decisions. Mm-hmm. There were people who then tried to talk to President Trump as to why he was wrong about NATO funding, and that's not how it works, and that they were more concerned about him saying these things just because it was misinformation, but also that it didn't do them any good. But
yes, because the leader of the free world doesn't understand how one of the most important strategic alliances we have works.
Lori, who wrote that about Jim Forte's victory, a great win in Montana, says Trump, tacitly endorsing reprehensible behavior. Don't you feel America getting greater and greater? I'm tired of all the winning. Parenthesis, sarcasm.
Right. Tongue in cheek.
Ashley says, one Ben Jacobs is an American with an American accent based in Washington, D.C., who currently happens to work for The Guardian. Two, Montana has early voting. It's likely that two-thirds or more of the vote already was in before
he
sold
it. Well, we talked about
that.
Yeah, we discussed that.
Three, interested to see stories to come about the newly elected MT representative, Montana, that's Montana, see, representative, criminal court proceedings for assault. Slap on the hand.
You got a misdemeanor. Yeah. You got a ticket.
Well, there are misdemeanors you can go to jail for.
High crimes.
My understanding was that he could have been charged more highly.
Well, my understanding was that the sheriff who arrested him and gave him $250 for his campaign.
Right. They're all related.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara says, I am so sick to death of empty apologies. Bill Clinton, Anthony Weiner, and now Senator Gianforte, their words mean nothing.
What do you have to do to make a sincere apology, though? I mean, how does people know? I agree with the letter, but that's a cynical. You can be cynical in saying that anyone who apologized doesn't mean it.
Well, mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to read the speech of the mayor of New Orleans, but I understand that that was one for the ages.
Did you see? You can see it. You can actually see it.
Right, yeah, yeah. I should have said I haven't had a chance to read or see.
It was stunning. It was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And he wasn't necessarily apologizing, but he was definitely talking about the rectification of a great wrong.
And you were talking about the crate, the take them down, the taking down the statues. I was there. Right. Robert E. Lee came right off the statue, the pedestal. And it was a huge pedestal. So here's this mayor of New Orleans, gutsy fellow, saying, take him down. And by the way, he's not running again, so he has nothing to gain, really.
And also nothing to lose.
Yes. And he might be positioning himself for something else.
Stephen says, as a history professor, I recall that in December 1861, months after Lincoln's assassination, President Andrew Johnson declared Reconstruction over, and the elected congressmen from former Confederate states appeared at the Capitol to assume their offices. The solid Republican Congress refused to acknowledge their legitimacy in session, and their names were not called in the roll and sent packing. Why can't Congress refuse to accept Gianforte as a legitimate congressman, as they did during the Congressional Reconstruction in 1861? Well, Professor Steve of Poughkeepsie, great respect to you, sir, but the Republicans are running the House. Why would they do that?
We are at $325,300. We need about $24,000 to make our goal, and we have 35 minutes to go. So just saying.
I'm scared.
1-800-323-9262.
And what do you get?
You get if you pledge $100 or more, you can get a pair of tickets to go to Tanglewood July 14th in the shed for the July 14th performance. Boston Symphony Orchestra, Andras Nelson's conductor. It is Ravel, Haydn, Mozart.
And by the way, Tanglewood is the most gorgeous place in probably
in Christendom.
Well, in the world, I think. Everybody knows that. We did get a note.
We got a note from Tom said, I just want to know, with Alan's view of Tanglewood, does this now mean that the Saratoga Performing Arts Center is now a container of chopped liver?
No, on the contrary, the Saratoga Performing Arts people are great friends of WAMC. They've always been, up until this year, they've always been very generous with tickets. You know, we're talking about, it had nothing to do with them. Why does everybody always try to make a fight out of everything? You know, Tanglewood.
Yeah, why is that?
Alan, what? Isn't that what you wrote your dissertation on?
I don't get that. You know, and really, in all honesty, you're making fun of me, guys, but and poor me.
Poor, pitiful me.
But I don't get that, because Tanglewood is, you know, I'm not comparing Tanglewood to Spank. I'm comparing Tanglewood to the world. Don't you see?
Okay,
and
fine.
I'm just doing it because we have this offer on the table, and I want to make sure that everybody knows. And there are people who are living down in the, you know, lower Hudson Valley who have never been to Tanglewood. You think that's impossible? It is not impossible.
They probably have never been to Spac either.
I keep meeting people who have never been. I keep meeting people who have never been to the Statue of Liberty, or to New. I meet people in the Berkshires who've never been to New York City.
Can I tell you?
Outrageous.
Can I tell you?
What?
I've never been to the Statue of Liberty.
Me neither. I've seen it.
I've been around it. I've taken the trip around it.
Ditto.
I've never gone up and gone into the, because it's I've tried, but it's kind of a pain in the.
Oh no, it's wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure it's lovely.
I've been there several times. You know, when you go to the Statue of Liberty, you go to the Statue of Liberty when you have a friend from out of town. That's when you go to the Statue of Liberty.
When you have a relative from out of the country.
That's right.
Right.
That's exactly right. That's when you go.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. What?
Nothing. I'm with you.
I think it's
all good.
No, and you know, if you go to the Statue of Liberty, you can sign up for Liberty Mutual while you're there. That's a joke. It's a joke.
Are they a sponsor?
But you know what? Yeah. No joke is that we need $24,000 and we need it by 10:30. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262.
My heart is jumping out of my chest cavity.
Ray, deliver me. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, Alan Chartok, Barbara Smith, and Libby Post. All right. Hey, do you want to know where we are, Alan?
I do. I need to know where we are because my heart is palpitating.
Okay.
and we can hear it from here.
That's what that is,
from
folks.
Across the room.
You may remember that when we started just about an hour ago, we were at $318,199. We are now at $328,139.
And we need to get to 350, and that is going to be very hard unless everybody does something.
That's right. We have just about 25 minutes to do it in, so we need you. 1-800-323-9262. Why is this important, Alan?
Because if we turn our backs on something that is this important, one of the few institutions that really has the guts to call it like it is, we are in trouble, real trouble. And if people think, well, you know, this guy's a joke and it's not going to happen, what we worry about, no, it really is happening. Every day it's happening. It's happening to the arts. It's happening to the humanities. It's happening to public broadcasting. Of course, it's predictable what he's trying to do. If you really care about any of it, please get to a phone, 1-800-323-9262. Hit zero and tell them you wanna make a contribution, or do it at WAMC.org. That's the way to do it. And you know, for all those people who've done it already, I say thank you, genuinely thank you.
Now, also, so why are we taking a couple of moments out of today's show and some of our programs to talk about this? Because we have a lockbox and we have a huge challenge on the table.
Spitzer Foundation has said $25,000 if you can do this, but they mean it, if you can do this. So we need to get to that $500,000 mark. That's where we're pushing it.
July 14th, Friday, the concert at Tanglewood. We are offering, this is a fund drive exclusive, a lockbox exclusive premium. July 14th, Friday at Tanglewood. Tickets for the Shed, $100 for a pair, $150 for two pairs.
It's a great concert, by the way.
It is. It is Ravel, Haydn, and Mozart.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, or WAMC.org. We're already up to $329,000.
But hurry, but hurry. Virginia says, if our dear Alan continues on his quest to lose weight, will he disappear from view on the studio cam?
Yes.
Oh, no, says Virginia.
We need $1,000 a minute, Alan.
Well, we can do that. We can do that.
That's what we need.
But everybody has to do something.
Right.
Right now. Go to phones.
Robert, our old friend Bob, says, welcome to Third World America, where violence is a campaign tactic by candidates and approved by many voters. Okay. Patsy says, hi, panel. I found myself wondering about his family, hoping that he doesn't lose his temper with his wife and children like that.
Well, this is the Montana congressman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for keeping up the good work each day. And that's from Patsy. And thank you, Patsy. And Glenn says, panel, a sincere apology from Gianforte would have included a phone call to Jacobs and an apology to voters for his statement lying about the incident.
Yes.
Okay. No, he said he didn't do it. That was the lie. Bruce says, Dr. Lazar of UMass Medical wrote a book, Art of the Apology. It's required reading of all trained Harvard Medical School and its affiliate hospitals for doctors in training. And that's from Bruce. Okay, and then the last letter I have here, Joe. These two pages won't come apart. Okay, if I put some
more
spit on both of them.
More spit.
Both fingers. Okay, then. Hi, panel. Hey, panel. Hey, panel.
Hey, panel.
A defense for the Republicare health bill has been the $119 billion savings over a 10-year period, assuming government spending over the same 10-year period, that's less than 1% savings. And also assuming, as I remember it, that the economy is going to grow at 3%.
Yes, which is just a pipe dream.
Okay. There's an inherent inability for citizens to grasp the numbers flowing through the federal government, and Republican talking points are taking advantage of it. Thanks from Andrew. And thank you, Andrew, and thanks to everybody who writes.
All right. Let us get to some other topics while we have time and while you're busy, making a pledge.
20 minutes to go.
That's right. We have, I want to do this story, well, two stories. The travel ban update, we can talk about this real quick. The appeals court will not reinstate Trump's revised travel ban. According to the court, the federal appeals court on Thursday, describing it as intolerant and discriminatory, the court rejected government efforts to limit travel to the U.S. from six predominantly Muslim nations. And Jeff Sessions quickly vowed to appeal to the Supreme Court. The decision was the first from a federal appeals court on the revised travel ban, which was an effort to make good on a campaign centerpiece of the president's national security agenda.
It'll be interesting when it gets up to Gorsuch what he does.
Right. He's been voting interestingly.
Has he?
Is the best I can say, yes. I've been pleasantly surprised by, he was on the right side on the gerrymandering issue that just came down.
I thought he didn't participate in that one.
Oh, maybe he...
Yeah, I don't think he did participate in that.
But he was on the right side. There was a gay thing that came down. So it's interesting. I think he's feeling his way through this and doesn't want to pigeonhole himself.
But voting to override Trump on this travel ban would be a direct stick in Trump's eye.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
But the thing is, he can't be fired by Trump, unlike James Comey, who could be.
That's a good point. And by the way, while we're on that topic, Lieberman has pulled himself out. That was a disgrace to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. He has no business being.
But he had
FBI
some partners.
A conflict of interest. The law firm that Lieberman works with is representing Trump in the Russian allegation. So that.
And wouldn't they have known that before saying?
No, they knew it the day it happened.
Yeah.
I think Lieberman said that the optics would be horrible, and he pulled out. So I give him credit for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't give him credit for anything, but you're right. He might not like.
We need. You ready?
Yeah.
Each time I press the button, it updates it. So we're. We need $19,000.
Oh boy.
$19,000. All right.
Why are you doing this to me? I'm dying.
$19,000 in 20.
Yeah, it's $1,000.
In 19 minutes.
All right.
18 minutes. You think there are 1,000? Do you think there are 19 people out there with $1,000?
There could be.
Or 38 with 500?
There could be.
Yeah.
I know it'll get the phones ringing. I want to hear Barbara tell me about Ben Carson, the head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, calling poverty a state of mind.
Well, as we know, he's bonkers. and, yeah, that scientific term. And that he has just no business being in the position that he is. This is a typical blaming the victim way of understanding poverty in this nation. Poverty is a lack of money and resources. That's what it is. It's not about how you think about things. When I read this story, I was thinking about, and I won't have all the details, and I'm sorry I didn't Google the story, so I would. There was a woman who was working multiple fast food jobs, mm-hmm. going from one place to another. And she was, I believe, sleeping in her car with the engine on, and she died between, you know, one of those underpaid jobs and another. That's not a state of mind. people who don't have secure housing, who can't do things for their children that they wish to do, children who are hungry. I mean, the level of child hunger and child poverty in this country. Like, let's play this out. If poverty is a state of mind, let's talk to poor children and find out what their state of mind is. Because if it's only a state of mind, right, then all the things that they are experiencing as children in want and in need, that's just in their minds, right?
Right.
The other part of that statement that, I mean, obviously that's the headline, but the other part of that statement is that he said that helping people wouldn't better their lives.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that sets a great, there's a golden rule. You take somebody with the wrong mindset so you can give them everything in the world and they'll work their way right back down to the bottom.
But Barbara, I know I'll get into trouble for this, but this, the question is African-American, right?
Pardon me?
Is Carson African-American? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Just by biology
and,
only.
Well, okay. And so,
not actually biology.
And so is Clarence.
since race is not biologically determined, it's
Clarence.
Is it a state of mind?
It's not a state of mind, but you can't prove scientifically what race is based upon biological characteristics or markers.
All right. I just want to see where this is going. Yeah.
So is Clarence Thomas, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what we see here, in my opinion, maybe you will not go down the same road with me here, is a very cynical attempt by the people who have appointed these two guys to say, see, black people are on our side, even though, yeah.
Well, certainly in the case of Ben Carson, that would be the case.
Not Clarence Thomas?
Well, the thing is, I'm more focused on the now. In some ways, I mean, Clarence Thomas has been a misery we've had to deal with for a couple of decades.
Yeah, but he's
now
sitting on the Supreme Court.
Absolutely,
of the United States,
he
and that's
is.
Pretty
absolutely,
now.
But yeah, I don't know what was in. Was it which it was George H.W. Bush?
Yeah.
Who appointed him? I don't know what was in his mind because, of course, from this vantage point, he looks like a great statesman in comparison with what we have now. I guess what I'm trying to get at is a cynicism.
Oh, you mean H.W. was?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think I'm trying to get at the cynicism of the appointment. Opposed to what I know is a frontal assault, but more than cynical appointment by Trump. But yes, he there are a handful of people of African heritage living in the United States who think that Trump is just fine with them. But they are in a distinct minority. And the bottom line is, because this, what the story is about is poverty. Poverty is really, really one of the most complicated issues that we face.
Sure.
The war on poverty did not eradicate it. There are all kinds of theories of, like, how do you eradicate poverty? What's the best solution? One of the solutions that people often speak about is a government solution, which is the EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit, is one of the best ways to get families, you know, who do not have much income on a better footing. It's one of the best ways to help families, and it's all based upon their work and a recognition that they should be getting that kind of benefit. But in any event, as I said, the many theories, the idea that the poor will always be with us. I'll just say this: I think under capitalism, yes, probably, but. In other places that have much better social safety nets and a much different governing philosophy about whether people should have the basic necessities, you don't see the level of poverty that we have here. There's a great irony in being the first constitutional democracy based on all those wonderful documents and words and having the level of poverty that we do. And for this joker to be saying that it's a state of mind.
well,
he was a neurosurgeon, though.
Yeah, but, you know, when I read it, I was like, wow, this is white privilege. It was just so incredible.
Well, he's the thing is, what I would say about Clarence Thomas and Ben Carson, what they might have in common more than trying to prove that they think like us, is like what's going on in their minds around how do I negotiate in a white supremacist country so that I get at least some of the benefits that accrue to people who are white. I will think like them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I think that internalized racism is really, really profound.
Joe, I'm so sorry for being so...
334,000.
So wait, we need 16,000?
16,000.
Come on, everybody.
In 12 minutes.
We could do this. We can do this. We can. If you've got an extra 1,000, and there are many of us who know that there are those people. If you can do something spectacular now, this is the time to do it. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. Everything on the table will count. Don't panic. We heard from PJ who said, Trump is a buffoon. Assemble multitude. Trump is a buffoon, not next Hitler. Anyone who knows history can easily cite differences between 39 Germany and 2017 U.S. Riku Data, both loony left and loony right use this fiction. Remember when loony right, Limbaugh et al., pushed fiction that President Obama was going to engineer a coup and remain in power. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's from PJ, and PJ, well, I have great respect for you. I have even more for the most distinguished historian in this country right now, Professor Tim Snyder, who says it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but says it, based on his research, it sure could happen.
I just want a quick note about that. People are calling in thinking that there is a Tim Snyder event. There isn't. The event is that Alan's interview will air with him this coming Thursday. So that's a week from yesterday at 1 o'clock.
Maybe we should make an additional offer. They'll kill me out front. But maybe we could say, if you call right now...
They will kill you out front.
You can have, and you ask for it, you can have a copy of the Tim Snyder interview.
Yeah.
Because it's well worth having. Okay. Bob says, is there nothing newsworthy to discuss this morning, please? Oh, I think we've discussed some very newsworthy things.
Yeah, I think poverty in the United States is pretty
please,
newsworthy.
Bob, please, don't do that. It's not up to your
I think standards. That... politicians using physical force is an important story.
Nicely said, Joe. Julius, I've never been to the Statue of Liberty, but I have flown around it in a small plane during a trip down and up the Hudson in the late 1990s, and that's from our friend Jules. Thank you, Jules.
All right.
Okay. And Doug says,
people vacation photos now.
Mm-hmm.
How is it when Trump sneezes, you have outrage discussions for an hour because he didn't say, excuse me, but you barely mention that leaks, criminal acts to the Times, nearly destroy intelligence sharing with Britain? Just wondering. That's fascinating, isn't it? That what the Republicans would have us believe is that rather than the initial act which has caused so much outrage, that it's the leaking about this so that the American people can know what happened that is the real sin here. It's unbelievable. Russ says, dear panel, with regard to Congressman-elect Gianforte's action that evening before the election is assault and his, quote, apology, let me offer this insight. A healthy and genuine and sincere apology is made when an offender takes total responsibility for the behavior. With no excuses, blame, discounting, minimalizing, normalizing the offense, they also do not commit the same offense again, even if they are given the same scenario to reoffend. And it goes on too long. Sorry about that, but I think we made your major point here. And John
keep
said,
"Keep him short."
Yeah, John said, "Just made my pledge to WMC. Keep America free. Keep up the good work. Love the roundtable, and we love you, John." Okay. And Mary says, to those of us who are taking our time to complain about fundraising, would spend this time making a pledge. Instead, we would meet our, and I love our in capital letters, goal a lot sooner. From Mary. Mary, great love to you. And Judy says, I live in the lower Hudson Valley. I've been to SPAC, lovely place, but I've never been to Tanglewood. Thank you, Alan, for the review. Welcome. 1-800-323-9262.
And I've got one.
Oh, okay.
That's great. This time in the morning is all the time I have all day with my little one napping. I appreciate this program with all my heart, and though I have minimal income this weekend, I will donate a portion of my earnings from the farmer's market where I work to keep this necessary service going. It is good and refreshing and hopeful to hear clear thinking and intelligent debate.
You know,
it is my one hope for a good future for my little boy.
This is really beautiful.
That's what it's all about, folks.
Very early in our career here at WAMC, when we were all struggling to make it happen as we are now.
Just have a minute, but go ahead.
A lady called up, a young girl called up and said she was out at the streets of New Paltz selling flowers, and she was going to give us the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I've never forgotten it.
It's the emotional attachment people have to this show, to the station, that makes them give.
All right. We have $15,000 that we need left, but we've made a lot of money this morning. But keep going. We still have time.
We've got to make it.
Alan, have a great weekend.
I think we can.
Barbara, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the holiday weekend. And Libby, thank you. We'll see you on the other side. We'll be back after this.